sky is a bit overcast.
Okay.
It's 5:15 in the afternoon.
Okay.
And everything's good.
That's a bit better, actually. I think that's better. Perfect. Okay,
that okay,
so that's fine. Yeah, that's really clear now. I think we're okay. And what good. We'll do is just go through the questions pretty much as I put them down. I might tweak that question about unemployment and the unemployment rate, and then ask why are living conditions still so bad given that the unemployment rate is relatively low, or something like that. And anything that
sure.
we say, if you're not comfortable so with your answer or whatever, we can re-record it and edit any section. So it's a pre-record.
Okay.
So you can always say, stop there, I want to answer that again, and that's fine. Okay. All right. So Hong Kong has been a booming financial centre for some years now, but we're now seeing a great disparity between the rich and the poor. What do you put this down to?
Well, I suppose, there are probably three reasons. I mean, the first is that, you know, Hong Kong is suffering really what everybody is suffering. I mean, there is a greater disparity between rich and poor in Hong Kong as there is everywhere else. I mean, let me give you one example. If you take manufacturing, Hong Kong is facing manufacturing competition from the mainland, just as is America, Germany, or anywhere else. In the 1980s, there were 1 million manufacturing jobs in Hong Kong. Remember, we're talking about a population of just 7 million people. And now that's fallen to 200,000. And now those jobs command salaries of about $700, which is really nothing in an expensive city like Hong Kong. But there are a couple of kind of Hong Kong-specific reasons as well, I'd suggest. First is that Hong Kong is a city-state. And if you compare Hong Kong with other cities in the world, New York or London or really almost any other city, they tend to have very unequal Gini coefficients. And if you think of it like this, there are lots of rich investment bankers in Hong Kong, but for every rich investment banker, there's somebody who takes the rich investment banker's garbage away, somebody who serves him in a restaurant, somebody who looks after his kids when he's flying around the world. And so disparities of wealth tend to be concentrated in cities. And, of course, to some extent, Hong Kong is a city-state. And it's also, of course, part of China, but it has a special status. And I think the third reason is that Hong Kong sort of inherited this sort of laissez-faire policy from Britain. It's sometimes called positive non-interventionism. And Hong Kong has some of the lowest taxes in the world. The top tax rate is 17%. There's virtually no welfare state here. So those disparities have in a sense always been there, and the state doesn't feel that it's job to step in and do that much about it. Are you there, Serena?
Sorry. The mic went down. The FT has been interviewing people at food banks. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes. So was that okay? Did you hear all that?
I did. I heard all that. Yeah. No, that's fine. Sorry, the mic went down. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay. The FT has been interviewing people at food banks this week, which is the Hong Kong equivalent of soup kitchens, I understand. Are we seeing higher numbers of these springing up in Hong Kong?
Well, we saw a kind of a spike in 2008 after the Lehman crisis. And then those levels actually went down quite quickly because Hong Kong's economy picked up very fast in 2009, 2010. We're seeing a slight uptick again now, but we haven't yet reached 2008 levels. So the people that are using these for the food banks are new immigrants, people who have just come from China, single mothers, pensioners, people who are really kind of falling between the cracks.
And are there any people who are going to these soup kitchens that weren't going before?
I think those are pretty much the same sort of people. And as I say, there is no welfare state here really to speak of. So if you're a pensioner who hasn't managed to save very much, I mean, for example, you see pensioners around and even some of the big flashy buildings in central here picking up cardboard. And what they're doing is they're picking up those cardboard or tin cans and they'll then go to the centre and sell those. But obviously they don't get much money for those. You're seeing very high inflation in Hong Kong at the moment, as you are around Asia generally. And obviously that hits the poor harder because more of their income goes to things like food. And so on the margins, you probably are seeing a sort of pickup in people using food banks.
And, I mean, is it significantly worse in recent years than it has been before? I mean, you think back to, for example, the time of the walled city and the levels of poverty that you saw then. I mean, are we looking at similar poverty levels now, or has it got worse, and is it likely to get worse going forward because of inflation?
I don't think absolute levels of poverty are worse than they were back then, and there may be evidence to suggest that that they're better. Relative levels of poverty, I think, again. Yes, you are seeing the problem getting worse. You know, Hong Kong has a population of 7 million. If I remember the figure correctly, about 1 below half the median wage. And the median wage is actually very low here. That's not a lot of money, as I say, in one of the most expensive cities in the world.
Are we starting to see any sign of social unrest or protest as a result of the growing inequality?
Hong Kong has a reasonably strong tradition of protest people coming out on the streets. And there was a budget earlier this year where people did protest about the budget. They protested not as they did in Greece because the government was running massive deficits and trying to cut welfare spending. And they protested because the government had huge surpluses and actually eventually agreed to hand back money. So they handed $770 to every single, that's US dollars, to every single Hong Kong citizen, rich or poor. And a lot of people thought this was a stupid thing for the government to do. They would have preferred the government not to collect that money in the first place or to spend it on things that that people think need doing, cleaning up the environment, putting in clean buses, and perhaps beginning the rudiments of a welfare state.
And how likely do you think that last thing is to happen? Do you think that there's a chance they would set up some sort of welfare state system?
I think under the present government, it's almost impossible. Remember, Hong Kong is not a full-fledged democracy. The professional classes here, the Hong Kong tycoons, still have a very big sway in Parliament, in the legislative process. And the status quo suits them pretty well. Land prices are very high here, which is another problem for middle-income and poor people, because rents are extraordinarily high unless they can get into government housing. But again, for those who own these properties, those especially who are developers of these properties, they're quite happy with high land prices and high rents. It kind of feeds the system. So the status quo, or at least the power status quo, is actually pretty happy with keeping things as they are.
Great, thanks very much, Dave.
Yes. That last bit I think I should redo actually.
Okay. On the likelihood that a welfare state would be set up.
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Sure, that's fine. Yeah, no problem. Fire away. Do you want me to ask the question? Sorry.
Dramatic changing. Oh, yeah, why don't you?
Sure, ask the question again. How likely is it that you think that the government will be pressured to set up a welfare state?
I think under present conditions, not very likely at all. One of the reasons is that this is not a full-fledged democracy, and those that do very well out of the status quo, the professional classes, the property developers, etc., the so-called tycoons, they have a big say in how this place runs. You might say they have the final say in how this place runs, and that the status quo suits them very well. Land is actually one of the other big problems here. Land is parceled out by the government in very large parcels that can only really be afforded by big developers. And that tends to keep the land prices artificially high, which is obviously not very good if you're a middle income or a poor Hong Kong citizen, which is very expensive to afford commercial rent. So unless you can get into government housing, you're really struggling. But for those who have access to land, for those who own apartments, especially for those who are developing land, developing apartments, and this is in a sense a license to print money. And these are the people who are who have a bigger say in the legislative agenda. So it's-